In the chapter that it talks about is that if you think about someone that you know, that you love, who might be in China or, you know, miles and miles away, you are actually present to that person. And they might not be conscious of it. And it's not being voyeuristic or anything, okay? It's essentially when let's suppose you're concentrating on or focusing on healing, or maybe even, you know, rather than looking at a person as being ill or imperfect, of just wanting to send them love and light. You know, we are, when we say you are more than your mind, you are more than your body, you are more than your feelings, means that you are not limited by those things. You are not limited by your physical body, you're not limited by your mind, you're not limited by your emotions. That we have the capacity and the ability to go beyond them. And we do that all the time, sometimes without thinking about it. Here we're making that much more conscious, or working on making that much more conscious, right? Of truly being present to someone. Essentially, that's what prayer is all about. When I'm praying for somebody else, I'm not just sending a prayer up here to God, and then God's, you know, it's kind of a triangular effect. You know, then God is somehow affected. I am actually being in my, I'm allowing my soul to be in the soul's presence of that other individual, and holding them in love and light and grace, or whatever words you want to think of with that. That I'm actually in their presence. That goes beyond my mind, it goes beyond my body, it goes beyond my physical feelings. So one of the things this chapter introduces is the whole idea of a deeper idea or a deeper sense of knowing. Before we get to that though, because the chapter is titled Healing and the Christ Consciousness, I want to share something with you, and I want to see what kind of what comes out of this for you. Because immediately what I thought of when I thought of healing and the Christ consciousness, I thought of some of the healing miracles of Jesus. And this was the one that came to mind. And what I'd like you to do is just sort of listen to this. You've probably heard it about a million times already. Listen to it, just sort of take it in. Imagine yourself as being not a participant necessarily, but part of the scene. You're an onlooker. You're part of the crowd that is watching this going on. And the original, one of the other, this particular one does not go into detail in this, but in one of the other Gospels, and I couldn't quite find it, I'm not a chapter and verse guy, I can quote you a lot of stuff, but I don't know exactly where stuff is. So there's another description of this particular miracle where some people brought a paralytic to Jesus, and they couldn't get at him because there was too much of a crowd. And so Jesus was talking out of the front, sort of the front yard of this house. And so what these guys did was they went around the back of the house, they climbed up to the ceiling, the roof, and they removed some of the tiles from the roof. And on a couple of ropes, they sort of let this guy down on his stretcher. So it's kind of like, here's Jesus preaching, and he looked over, and here's this guy coming down from the ceiling, okay? This one says, Jesus re-embarked on the boat, crossed the lake, and came to his own town. Immediately, some people arrived, bringing him a paralytic, flat on his bed. When Jesus saw the faith of those who brought him, he said to the paralytic, "Cheer up, my son, your sins are forgiven you." At once some of the scribes thought to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus realized what they were thinking and said to them, "Why must you have such evil thoughts in your minds? Do you think it is easier to say to this man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Get up and walk'? but to make it quite plain that the Son of Man has full authority on earth to forgive sins, and here again he spoke to the paralytic, get up, pick up your bed, and go home. And the man sprang to his feet and went home. And when the crowd saw what had happened, they were filled with awe and praised God for giving such power to men. Now, what happened there?
Fake news.
Hmm? What?
Fake news.
Hashtag.
How did this guy get healed? Can't walk, paralytic, in bed, stuck, can't move, can't walk. First thing happens, my son, your sins are forgiven you. Not about you, but if I was a paralytic lying in bed, I would say, that's not what I came here for. What are you talking about? My sins have forgiven me. You're supposed to be a miracle worker, right? Here I am lying in this sick bed, all right, and I can't move, I'm paralyzed, and you're telling me my sins are forgiven me. I don't know about you, but I'd be kind of annoyed. Didn't bother Jesus anything, all right? But the scribes, the Pharisees, who are always kind of pecking at things, all right, they don't particularly care for this guy who seems to be taking away their authority, although he really isn't, but they think he is, all right? So they're kind of pecking away at this. And he says, which one is easier? To say that, my son, your sins are forgiven you, or get up and walk? And so he said, so that you may know that the Son of Man has power in heaven and earth, I say to you, get up and walk. And he does. And what happens? Happens all the time with the miracles that Jesus performed in healing. Now, my sense of this, huh?
He just has to believe it.
Believe it. You got to believe it. And that's not just saying the words. That's believing it. Do I believe I can? This is, again, this is not the little engine that could. This is not, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. This is not repetition of something that, you know, we would like to be true. This is knowing that it is true. If you know that it is true, it is real. What do you know is true? You come here on Sunday mornings. Do you know this is true? You might say, if you stop for a minute, you might say, well, I want to know this is true. Well, no, that's not it. You don't come here because you want to. Now, part of you wants to. I understand that. But you also come here because you know. You wouldn't be here unless you did. I want to get that knowing reinforced. We all do. But I really want you and me, all of us, to reinforce that sense of truth within ourselves that not only brings us here on Sunday mornings, but allows us to do what we do. To love how we love, to forgive how we forgive, to stick with our spiritual growth no matter how discouraged we might become sometimes. I don't know if you're like me, I get discouraged sometimes. So I pick it up again. How many times are you going to pick this up again? As many times as you need to. Exactly.
70 times 7.
70 times 7, all right. So, well, I picked it up 7 times. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's interesting that we've even turned that into something funny. Somebody who just starting off was saying, nothing funny about this. It's like I remember people talking about coming to their first few AA meetings. And somebody's describing this horrible circumstance in their life, and people are laughing about it. So what are these people, crazy? Are they insane? And they said, no, that we're just realizing that we see beyond that, and you will be able to see beyond that as well. It is not just that it is humorous. It's not funny that somebody's in pain. What is funny is that you think this is so important. Because a week from now, right, there's going to be something, or a minute from now, there's going to be something else that's going to take its place. And eventually you're going to find that all of these things on your totally important list are rather irrelevant to what's truly important. That's what's funny. Oh. And you can't explain that really until you experience that. We've all experienced that. That's why we laughed. How many times do I need to start this over again? As many times you need to. How many times do I need to pray about this? How many times do I need to open my heart? How many times do I need to stop judging? This chapter begins by saying, today we will talk about knowing in a different way, and your vibrational knowing, and what the energy field knows that it then transmutes into consciousness. Let me say that again. Today we will talk about knowing in a different way, and your vibrational knowing, and what the energy field knows that it then transmits into consciousness. What's that saying? That sounds rather spooky. Do you know differently now, or do you know that you know differently now than you did, let's say, 6 months ago, or a year from now, or a year ago? Do you know differently? Do you know yourself differently? Do you look at yourself differently? Do you perceive yourself differently?
I think I do.
Okay.
Some days.
And when you say, I think I do, whereabouts within you is there a knowing within you that says that?
I think the knowing is more of a revelation that, like many people, I have a tendency to want to figure things out. And I think, if I just get this figured out, then everything's going to be fine. And I have a daughter who's almost 7, and it's funny how being a parent is kind of an accelerated course, can be an accelerated mm-hmm. course in that, because you think you've got them down, and then all of a sudden they start evolving, and everything changes, and so, okay, all that's out the window. And so when I say I think I know, there's this part of me that says, oh yeah, I've got this, but there's a deeper knowing underneath, and it's the deeper knowing that informs and that embraces the not knowing.
That sounds very paradoxical, and yet it is. It's true. In Zen Buddhism, it's called the don't know mind, right? And the don't know mind is not ignorant, right? The don't know mind just does not grasp anything. In fact, the don't know mind really knows everything and knows that it knows, right? But is not attached to that. Because as soon as it becomes attached to that, then it writes it down in a book and says, here's the knowing. But once I do that, the knowing can no longer go any deeper than it went before. A couple of weeks ago, it might have been last week, I don't remember when, I spontaneously said to you all, I love you. Do you remember that? I mean, some of you were there for that. Now, I am presuming that most of you knew that was true. Because I'm going to feel that again, too. How do you know that? Well, because he said it, and he's the teacher, so he must know. No, I don't think that was it.
You knew it before that.
You probably knew it before I said it. Now, when I ask the question, how did you know, your mind, your thinking mind, your intellect, my thinking mind, my intellect, is looking for a way to explain that. Okay? But you drop that. You say, wait a minute, that's not where this is going. I know this as being true on a deeper level of my being than what my intellect can grasp. I might not be able to explain that to you. I might not be able to even describe that to you. I might not be able to define that for you. But in a way, that doesn't matter. That does not take away from what I already know is true. What I'm suggesting here is that there are lots of ways that we can do this all day long. Not just of reminding ourselves of that, but actually doing that. The practice that I've gotten into lately, you know, words that I've used on any number of times that I've used sort of as a barometer for my spiritual well-being, is the best way I can put it, is asking myself the question before I hold on to a thought or perform a particular action, is what I am holding on to or what I'm thinking about doing, is it going to open my heart or is it going to close my heart? That's simple. Okay. And I've gotten to the point right now where I can almost physically feel that. I mean, I know when I'm shut down. Sometimes I'm really shut down and I'm really angry about someone or something. I see something on television, I just go, you can almost feel that in your body. Right? There are other times when I'm just naturally self-centered. I'm sure that never happens to you, okay, but happens to me quite often, all right, when I'm just naturally in my own stuff. That ever happen to you? Okay. And if I stop for a moment and look at that and observe that, I notice that my heart is closed. Not the clanging door closed like when I'm watching a politician on television, okay, but it's still closed. Right, it's just because I'm in my own little world, and whether you know it or not, my world is more important than yours. Okay. So I've gotten to the point right now where I if I'm conscious of it anyway, I kind of know when that's happening. So my choice comes to be when I come into awareness of that, is choosing to open my heart, no matter what the external circumstances might be. Now, I might not always feel that emotionally. In fact, many times I don't, but I can choose. I'm going to open my heart to this. I'm going to be loving of this situation or this individual as best I possibly can. Or I'm just walking down the street, or I'm walking through a bookstore, I'm walking through Kroger's, and I say, I was thinking about Doritos, all right, 2 seconds ago. I think I'll open my heart. And I might still buy a bag of Doritos, which might close my heart after a while, okay, if I eat too many of them, right? I might still buy a bag of Doritos, but my heart is open right now. It's different. I am in a different state of mind, and because I am in a different state of mind, I see everyone and everything around me in a different state of mind. Not in judgment, but all. And that's when people start smiling at you when they're walking down the aisle. For no particular reason. Oh. They know that. They might not know that they know that. But they know what it's like to walk by a person with an open heart. And who knows who you might be blessing with that? Somebody in pain? Somebody who's lost? Somebody might not get blessed by anybody else that 24 hours, except passing you by in a store because your heart's open. Now, I'm presuming that we all have a sense of some of that knowing already. And what we're going to do is we're going to reinforce that. So this is not a knowing of the mind. This is a knowing of vibration, as it says. Back to the 60s again. We used to talk about good vibrations, good vibes, man. We didn't know how close we were to the truth. Right? We weren't talking about drugs or music. We were talking about truth. Now what we did was, we got into the habit of avoiding anything that was bad vibes. Here what we are doing is understanding that there are good vibrations that come from the heart, that come from loving, that come from an open heart, that actually not only transmit themselves through our consciousness, but also can transmute negative vibrations. So it's not necessarily going out of my way to avoid them, is knowing that if I am within the power of love, nothing can take that away from me. In fact, the power of love can transmute the power of darkness or the power of hatred. The light has never gone out. And it never will. We have that power within us. You don't have to go out of your way. There'll be enough circumstances in life that will create circumstances for you to be there, to be in your truth. But know that being in your truth on a conscious level creates a vibration that can not only transmit through your consciousness, but also can transmute what we sometimes refer to as negative. Negativity or darkness is simply the non-recognition of good and the non-recognition of God. It doesn't mean that God's not there, it just means that God's not recognized. When God is recognized, it moves to that place of power, that place of strength, that place of knowing. And I do have one other thing I want to add to that idea of healing. I know I've mentioned this before, but to me it's terribly important. Healing doesn't just take place on a physical level. Healing takes place all the way through, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And sometimes healing will not take place on a physical level. That doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. It might or it might not. I recall that, and I know I've mentioned this a number of times before, but Margo and I used to talk about this a lot when we did healing workshops. We did healing touch or Reiki. We're teaching that or demonstrating that for people. One of the things we came across, especially in healing touch, was that healing and curing are not the same thing. Curing is release of the symptoms of a particular illness. They are no longer present. Healing is changing your internal state of awareness and your state of mind and your perception. And so the external might not change, but the internal can. Okay. Why? I do not have an answer to that one. Could be karma, could be a gift, something somebody has chosen. You know, we have a granddaughter right now who has a severe genetic nervous system illness. Why did she create that? Was it, you know, out of bad karma? Was it about punishment? Could be. Or is it about looking at this wonderful little being and saying, my God, what a teacher. What strength. What grace. What power comes from this person. Or as Ram Dass said after his stroke and visiting John of God, he said, at that moment I knew I was cured. My body was still half paralyzed. But I was free. I was no longer attached to that as being a judgment on myself or anybody else. I was totally free. Wow. Today we'll talk about knowing in a different way. And your vibrational knowing, open heart, closed heart, best way I can think about that, simplest way. Your vibrational knowing and what the energy field knows that it then transmits into consciousness. We are teaching you tools for your own ability to clarify frequency, and understanding, and what this means is when you begin to interpret energy, that which you feel around you, how do you move through it? How do you work with it? How do you understand or know what you are feeling? Again, I think we've got a great circumstance here on Sunday mornings.
Okay.
You know, and for those of you who might be new here, you're welcome here anytime. You don't have to have a book. If you want one, I can order one for you, but you don't need to have one. You can listen. You can soak up the energy. But I know there are a lot of people who come in here and just sort of... And you might walk out of here just as confused or more confused as you did when you came in your head. You say, you know, there was something about that that got touched. See, that's the problem. You walk in here, you're going to get touched. It's going to happen. That's vibration. That's energy. Okay. That's energy that's created by us, by whenever two or more are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. It's energy created by all the beings that are present here, physically or not. Remember in great Catholic grade school, one class, you had to scoot over to one side of your seat. We had these desks that were screwed into the floor. You know, it was a building that was about 1,000 years old, okay? And, you know, these things were... And so we had to scoot over and leave half our seat empty, and you put a handkerchief on the other side of your seat. That was for your guardian angel. Somehow that day it was taking up some room, okay? But, you know, I haven't thought about that in about a million years, okay? But, you know, that in even though that was sort of old Catholic bludgeon your head with steel rulers, okay? Even though that, there was something beautiful about that. Because it was recognizing the presence of this non-corporeal being who loves you, who is with you, who guides you, who protects you. Not necessarily in the ways a little six-year-old might think of, but it's there. And now we're saying, you know, they're all over the place. This room is full of them. They're not just yours or mine. They're all over. Yeah, well, we have a couple empty chairs for. They're not empty. It's crowded in here. Isn't that great? How often do I forget that? That's part of my knowing as well. This room is full of spirit and spiritual energy. How often I forget that one? You have an energy system that is comprised of your physical self and subtle energy bodies that are encompassing your field in frequency. You know, we're not going to get into, you know, chakras or stuff like that. You can if you want to. But essentially, if you're familiar with any other healing modality or probably any other modality of teaching or learning around the physical or around energy, right, you're probably familiar with the seven chakras, coming from either the Tibetan Buddhist or the Hindu system, which are a little bit different from one another, but are very similar expressions. Or in Chinese medicine, in acupuncture, acupressure, okay, the meridians that flow through the body, right? All of which were discovered thousands and thousands of years ago and are just being rediscovered by modern medicine, even though they won't talk about it too much. It's funny, years ago, Margot and I would go to see somebody in the hospital, and we would ask permission from the nurse or the doctors around there if we could do some energetic healing. And you know, years ago, we were looked at with rather dubious eyes, okay? But more recently, we haven't done it in a while, but more recently, they'd say, oh sure, come on in. Because they realized, even though they might not be able to explain it, something's happening here. Right? If nothing else, other than it makes the patient feel better, okay, come on, go ahead and do it.
I just wanted to comment on something you said a couple minutes ago. I have a really good friend who's a psychic. And on more than one occasion, we'd be sitting around just talking, and he would say, you know, this room is really crowded.
My first experience of that, I'll make this short. I first got into my new thought work when I was working in a treatment center up in Columbus, Indiana. And I was introduced to this teacher called, his name was Michael. And Michael had a non-credited course he was teaching out of Indiana University, Purdue, on awareness, on affirmation, all of the stuff that kind of imagery and things like that start us off. And he introduced us to a psychic friend of his, Carol Bridges. And Carol did a sort of an end of class thing with us. We all met in Michael's house, and we all kind of sat around. And Carol said, "Would you guys like to get in touch with one of your guides?" And we all said, yeah, that sounded very cool. She said, okay. So she took us through this exercise. And at one point she said, okay, your inner guide now is sitting next to you. And I swear to you, Boy Scout oath, all right, live long and prosper, all right. I swear to you, even though I was sitting there with my eyes closed, I could feel the number of entities or people in that room at least double at that split second. You know, it'd be like if you were on an elevator with your eyes closed and your ears stopped up, you'd still know if somebody walked on, right? It was like that. Bam! All of a sudden the energy in that room completely changed. Made a believer out of me. Right? Holy, wow. It's comfortably crowded in here. This is all you, and this is all aspects of you. And as you begin to differentiate in frequency what you are experiencing in matter and knowing in this way, you can begin to attune in higher ways to know what is happening in your field. Again, let's just keep that really, really simple. Does what I'm thinking or what I'm holding on to or the action that I'm contemplating, is it going to open my heart or is it going to close my heart? And will I know the difference? And the answer usually is, well, of course you will. You can and you will know the difference. Now, we have a choice one way or the other. We can choose one way or the other if we want to. But we are choosing or making that choice based on an energy or a frequency that we are consciously aware of. Here's another example. Or I'll give you another one from my own experience. There have been, I can't remember the name of this place, it was a store in one of the malls. There were a couple of stores, not in the mall. It was one in the mall, one somewhere. But there are a couple of times that I've walked into a store and immediately felt like I needed to take a shower. I needed to get out of there quickly. Now, externally, there wasn't anything that was going on that was necessarily bad or even inappropriate, all right? But the energy that I felt or experienced when I walked in there was certainly not something that I wanted to be aligned to. I got out of there quickly. Right. Have you ever experienced anything like that? I'm sure most of us have at some time or another. Right. This is just an example of our being attuned. And God, just thinking about it, I don't feel very good. I gotta get rid of it. So this is a whole idea, the whole sense of really we already are attuned to that. We're just not always aware of that. Okay? Now, what we're being asked to do here and now is to become more aware of that alignment and that attunement. It's not about judging something being good or bad or indifferent, although that might be true in some cases. What I'm saying is this is not for me. Okay. So,
before you were talking about good vibrations and bad vibrations, and so how do those two things dovetail that you're like, oh, I've got to get out of here, that's bad vibrations, versus just holding on to your center?
Okay, if I was Jesus, I could have walked in there and said, "Be thou made clean." I would know there's a bad vibe here, okay? But it doesn't affect me because I am so centered, I am so in my own power. I will allow the energy, the positive, loving, powerful, positive energy within me, I will allow that to transmute and allow this darkness to disperse, okay? But I'm not there yet. All right. I said this is too much for me. All right. Let me get out of here. And maybe when I get in my car and I'm 6 miles away from this place, I can surround this image with love and with light. I can call to it the presence of God, right? I'm not powerful, or I don't perceive myself. See, this gets a little bit tricky. I don't perceive myself as being powerful enough to approach that darkness. That's my perception. So my perception, and I accept that. My Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. God, my perception is that I'm not powerful enough to approach this darkness head on, so I'm going to have to create some distance here. Right? So there's a whole bunch of layers of stuff we're working on here. I hope that answers your question somewhat.
Well, it does, and what I've found when I am in a place like that I can't leave, I search for other points of light.
Yes.
I make a contact with someone else that opens.
Or get it, you know, reinforce the light within myself, saying, God, I know I am here for a reason. I know the truth is within me. I know the light is within me. Right? Sometimes just saying unity is what we call sometimes unity is prayer protection. The light of God surrounds me. The love of God enfolds me. The power of God protects me. Friends of God. Or say that about the whole situation. There's another wonderful prayer. It's sort of a universal prayer of new thought. I am whole. I am filled with light. I am perfect. I am filled with light. The pure white light of Christ enfolds me. Nothing but good shall come to me. Nothing but good shall come from me. I give thanks, I give thanks, I give thanks. So having stuff like that, those are tools, having stuff like that available to our consciousness. The difficulty is when I get scared, I forget all that stuff. Okay, I'm too busy running for cover, right? And I forget. Have you prayed about it? I was too busy running for my cave, okay? But see, the more we practice something like that, the more available it is to us. See, that's why we're doing work like this on Sunday mornings together. Right? The more we practice this, the more we delve into this, the more available this stuff is to us as being the truth, as recognizing that. Just as you were saying, oh, okay, well, I can't get out of this situation, but I can look for the light, I can find the light. I can be nurtured by the light. I can reinforce that within myself. I can find some others who can reinforce that within me. And again, I want to reinforce that idea. Is, you know, I was jokingly said, well, if I was Jesus and I could walk in here, I would say, be thou made clean. But the reason why I am feeling overwhelmed, let's say when I walk in this place, is because my perception of myself is not in alignment with who I truly am. I am the Christ consciousness, so are you. But see, I don't turn that into a judgment and say, oh, well, you idiot, right? Your perception of yourself was very lacking. Okay, that's why you ran. No, I go back to my wonderful prayer, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Right? I didn't perceive myself as being enough to reach that or to have the power not to transmute that particular situation. Let me heal from that. Let me forgive myself. Let me be open to healing. And it doesn't mean, well, let me gear myself up for the next time I meet that darkness again. No, it's not about that at all. It's let me be in this place where I am right now, this place of forgiveness, this place of expanded realization, this place of knowing that I thought my perception of myself was lacking, but I also know in my heart and my soul that it is not. And so, Lord, help me to heal that place of fear. Allow me to be cleansed. Allow me to be healed. We will give you an example. If you are walking down the street and you begin to feel fear in... Did we do that already?
No.
Not in the middle.
Oh, okay, thanks. And you begin to feel fear in your energy field, the first thing we have to ask you is to know what you are feeling and where it is coming from. If it is your own fear, or if it is the fear you are picking up on. Now, if you're by yourself, and there's nobody else on the street, you can probably recognize it's your own. Could be that you're sensitive, picking up, could be, sometimes people, places, and things are imbued with some power and some energy. That's why we have sacred symbols and things like that. So, you know, and most of the time for me when I start experiencing fear like this, sort of out of the blue, I don't know where it's coming from. Right? I just know I'm off. I'm off my feet, I'm off balance, I'm feeling fear. I don't need to be. As you begin to attune yourself as an energy vehicle, as a being comprised in frequency, you know yourself. So then you are allowing yourself to differentiate between your energy field and in feelings, in quotation marks. These are not emotions, these are more sensations. And those energies that may be intruding on your field, as it were. By intruding, we mean impacting and nothing more. So they're kind of knocking on your door. Hello, I'm fear. I'm coming from this person walking down the street here, or I'm coming from the last person who sort of sat in this place and got mugged, all right? Here I am. Do you want to let me in? Do you want to own me? You say no. Get thee behind me. Or I could say, you know, I got a sense this is mine. I don't know where it's coming from. Could be an old memory. It could be something. I'm not quite sure where this is coming from. But yeah, it's mine. What do I have to do? Let me sit down. I think I'll analyze this. I think I'll journal on this one. Screw it. Help me be healed. Help me release this one. Help me let it go. Not just let it go. Not pretend it's not there. Help whatever woundedness this fear is coming from. Allow this, please, to be healed. I am willing to have it healed. Now, what might happen is somebody might show up in your life that you realize were part of the trigger of that fear. And so what you might need to do is an additional piece of work. You might need to work on forgiveness. You might need to work on loving that person. Or a memory might come back to you. Or maybe nothing. I'm just saying, when you pray for something like that, be aware that something else might show up in your mind or in your awareness that needs to be worked with so you can finish off that cleansing process. And there are going to be other times when you ask it to be healed and cleansed, it's simply going to happen because you don't need to do any more work on that. I'm not trying to make that more complicated or more complex. I'm just saying, just be aware. It's like when you pray for patience. You know, you get incidents that allow you to practice patience. You know, that's just kind of the way it works. Yeah.
The reading you did at the very beginning about when he was laying there waiting to be healed, my perception was he was healed, but he did nothing with it for whatever reason. And I can think of lots of reasons for that. But, and then Jesus said, get up out of your bed and take your bed home and go do something with it.
Okay.
So, I mean, that, to me, that's what you're saying now, too. It's like, when you get healed,
do something
then,
with it.
Then you're of service.
Do something with it.
You have a choice.
That's a great idea, a great thought. Thank you for that.
And so to kind of piggyback on that, the healing happens when we say, I want to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
I am willing
to be healed. We talk about this an awful lot in this particular class because so much of what we are working with is willingness and intention. Okay? And that's far beyond our emotional state. Do you believe at what Jesus said to the centurion is, do you believe I can do this? Do you believe I can do this? And that's when that wonderful prayer that I keep going back, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I believe you can do this, but you know, there's still part of me that's sort of wishy-washy Charlie Brown, okay? And Jesus said, that's fine, thank you. Thank you for being so honest with me and with yourself, and that is enough. But don't stop working on it. But thank you for that. And so I thank you for that. Do you believe I can do this? Do you believe you can do this? Lord, I believe, help down my unbelief. Close your eyes, deep breath. And just allow your heart to open in gratitude. Simple, joyful, peaceful, real. And when you take another deep breath and open your eyes, take a look around at all of your fellow travelers who are wearing spacesuits. And know that there's a whole bunch of other fellow travelers in here who are not wearing spacesuits. But I had a thought this morning, and I apologize for that. There's not going to be too many people here because it's pouring rain outside. And here we are. Thank you, God. See you next week. Okay.
Thank you.
Can I make an announcement?
Sure.
Take care of yourself. I'm glad you're better.
Very shortly in this very room, a bunch of children and teenagers are going to be coming in here. And Jody has been working with them at day camp all this,